Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I know that this is Epiphany Sunday, and where we should be is in the book of Matthew, looking at the king's coming and bringing presents, and I honor that and I give glory, and go home and read that passage because it's important. But I decided this morning that we would start out, rather than the Epiphany text, and looking at what it means to be in a new year. Now, being in a new year, I thought about these New Year's resolutions, and I'm not good at making them, but, you know, I know that they're quite popular and people love to make them, so I decided to go and do some research on New Year's resolutions. And oddly enough, and you can laugh at me if you wish, but the first place I landed was on a website that was letting me know the a lot of celebrity resolutions that they had made via Twitter. If you don't know what Twitter is, you put out little sayings and things. I'm not on Twitter, but I know that Twitter's popular, and celebrities love to tell the world their opinions and things that they're going to say and get it out there for everybody to be able to read. Well, anyways, so I was reading through these Twitter resolution of celebrities and laughing at a lot of them, but the one thing that I gleaned from it is it seems to be, at least according to this website, that the most popular celebrity resolution, are you ready for this one, is to not say bad things about other people on social media. What is that saying to you about our celebrities? But I thought, you know, in this day and age and with the explosion of social media over the last 5 or 7 years, to learn to be nice in what we say, that the computer is not a shield that allows us to say whatever comes to our mind without repercussions because the person can't see us, but to think if we're going to put it on social media, if I'm not willing to say it in earshot of that person, maybe I shouldn't type it and hit send on the computer at the same time. So that's what we learn from our celebrities. But then I thought, okay, what's outside of these celebrities? What is it that people are doing? And so I'm going to go to my notes, if you don't mind. And I am an electronic person, so my notes are electronically written. But I thought, okay, let's learn about resolutions. The first thing I learned is the statistic that really only 50% of Americans regularly make resolutions. So I'm not sure if it's this half that makes the resolutions or this half, but it's only half that regularly make those resolutions, and just about 40% that never make resolutions, leaving about 10% that sometimes do and sometimes don't. Now, I found that if you can believe it or not, statistically, people really don't keep their resolutions. It's like 75% of them are kept in that first week, which sadly it means 25% don't even make a week of keeping their resolutions. And then it just goes down from there, and by halfway through the year, it's almost none. Now, an interesting one I found was what age group is best at keeping their resolutions. And this one really surprised me, at least by the statistics I saw, was that the age group doing the best at keeping their resolutions were those in their 20s. Surprise anybody else? Go young people. They're doing good at keeping those promises. Anyways, okay, so I thought, statistics aside, what are the popular resolutions? I thought, you know, I'm thinking about doing this series on resolutions, so let's see, what are the popular resolutions that people made? And here is the top 10 resolutions that people make, not in order of best to most popular to least popular, but 10 resolutions that people tend to make. Number one, believe it or not, to lose weight, right? How many of you out there have made the resolution, I'm going to take off a few pounds after Christmas, this is what I'm going to do this year. Number two, get organized. I know better than that because I am just never going to get organized in this life. All right, number three, spend less and save more. Makes Dave Ramsey curriculums very popular this time of year, if you know who Dave Ramsey is. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. I think maybe that's what the 20s are keeping in theirs. Number five, stay fit and get healthy. Pretty good one. Number six, learn something new and exciting. We can always do that in life. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, this one kind of surprised me, help others achieve their dreams. I thought that one was a pretty good one. I think this is also for all those in their 20s. Number 9 is fall in love. And number 10, spend more time with family. If you know, there's really a trend of New Year's resolutions of how do I be a better me? How do I take care of myself better and those people around me? And really trying to be in that way. And so I thought, okay, in these New Year's resolutions, these promises that popularly we make and then popularly we break, how do we try to transform these through the scriptures? And well, you know, I read the entire Bible last week, trying to find where New Year's was celebrated and resolutions were given. But if you can believe it or not, it was nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere did they get to celebrate New Year's and have a party and make poppers and make New Year's resolutions, if you can believe it, in there. I thought for sure when we got to the middle of the Bible that there'd be this great celebration when it went from 1 BC to 1 AD, but no, there wasn't even in there. Just kidding. But anyways, I thought, okay, so where is it in the Bible that I can look at New Year's resolutions? Of where is it that new beginning is started, and this is the way we're going to do things, and we're going to do things right? And the place that I landed was in the book of Joshua. And I love the book of Joshua. Here we have this story that continues of our favorite wandering, disobedient Israelites who are trying to get things right with God. These Israelites that start this treacherous journey in Egypt when they have to flee their promised land, their homes, because a famine is coming. And in Joseph's story, they end up in Egypt where Joseph has stored things up and gotten them ready for that famine. And in Egypt, they end up in slavery, right? They end up in slavery and they have to cry out to God to save them from there. And this morning we get to celebrate communion, which is the Passover meal. That meal that celebrates that day when God says, you have suffered enough and I come to save you. On this night you will pass out of Egypt safely and you will be back in freedom. And so on that night he did just that. He saved their firstborns, unlike the Egyptians saved firstborns, and he brought them out of Egypt. But the trouble was, he brought them out of Egypt and not into the land of milk and honey and goodness and blessings, but he plopped them down into the wilderness where they got to live off quail and manna and quail and manna and quail and manna and quail and manna for 40 plus years. He said, okay, in this new start, I'm going to bring you out into slavery, but while you were over there in Egypt, you picked up a lot of bad habits. You picked up a lot of false idols and other gods and eating things that I've said are forbidden, and you forgot how to be obedient to me while you were under Egyptian rule and Egyptian influence. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in the wilderness, and you're going to spend one generation of time in the wilderness. And what that's going to do is it's going to make it so that everybody who was born in Egypt and had that direct influence will pass away in the wilderness and will not make it into the promised land, so that that influence of Egypt will not directly go there. And so they made it through that entire generation in Egypt. And at the end of Deuteronomy, we have where Moses hands off leadership to Joshua. He says, my time is up. I have done my duty. I have done everything, the thing that I can to give God's word to my people, to God's people. Joshua, you are a man of courage, of heart, and of faith. You are the next leader for this generation, and you will be the one that will lead them into the promised land. And Moses hands off that leadership to Joshua, and he passes away there in the wilderness. Now here comes Joshua. And Joshua takes those reins, and in the beginning of the book of Joshua, we have where the Israelite people get the promised land back. And this great story we especially love to do in VBS, where the Israelites and all the priests with their trumpets get to march around the city 8 times, right? Blowing their trumpets and yelling, and at 8 times the walls come tumbling down, right? And the walls come tumbling down. You've all sung that song, right? Or we need to go back to VBS. Anyway, so the walls come down, and Joshua gets to lead the people back into the promised land, where they get to reestablish themselves as the community of God. Well, here we come to the end of Joshua, which is where I begin today. At the end of Joshua, and Joshua is handing leadership over. He's consecrating the new leaders and saying, here, now it is your turn to take the reins. And he says it's going to be you. And then before he passes away, before his time expires, he says, all right, now it's time to make a new covenant, okay? A new covenant symbolizing a new start, like a new year. He says it's time to make a covenant, and you have to make a decision. There are still foreign gods that have come with us, still foreign foods that have come with us, still foreign ways that are not God's ways. And today, on this day, right here and now, day one of the rest of your life, you get to make a decision. Will you serve God and be blessed by him and be his people? Or will you stay with those foreign gods and those foreign ways, and God will curse you, I promise that. And Joshua says, for me and my house, for me, my family, and all those in my responsibility, we're going to choose to serve the Lord. I am going to choose to do what I've always done, what's in my heart, and to be faithful to God. Well, here's the people, and they respond, and they say, we've seen the great things that God has done. We've seen what God's done to our enemies. We've seen the power that God has. And the people together say, we want to serve God. And you would think Joshua would say, good job, you've chosen right. You've chosen the right one. But Joshua surprisingly says, you can't serve the Lord. I know I just gave you that option, but you can't serve the Lord because you're saying, yes, we want to serve the Lord, but you still have all those foreign idols. And you can push them into the closet with the dust and try to hide them away and say, look, my house is of God, but you've still got them sitting there. You've still got them waiting that when trouble hits, that you're going to go run to them when you're scared that God's not going to be there in the pattern of what you've always done. You're going to keep them as a fallback. And as long as you have them, as long as one foot still sits in disobedience and doubt, he says, you can't serve God. He says he is a jealous God, and he wants 100%. He wants 100% of your heart, 100% of your life, 100% of your family, 100% saying, I faithfully trust you and rely fully and only on you. He says, this is the only way God will take you. And those Israelites say it again. They say, we give it all up. We want to serve the Lord. And Joshua says, okay, you're going to be the witnesses of that. You're going to be the ones to testify and say, this is the truth. This is the covenant we make. And they say, we will be the witnesses. And today is our day. This first Sunday of the year, to examine in our hearts that same covenant that Joshua was putting to those Israelites, to say that this is a new year, that this is day one, and that we have a decision to make, to sit here in God's house and say, who do we want to serve? Do we want to serve God, to give him 100% of our hearts, 100% of our lives, 100% of everything that we have, to fully rely on him and say, I am yours, God. You don't have to be jealous of anything else that I have, because I will put nothing before you. Or are we too afraid? Does our faith shake to where we want to keep one foot in this world saying, but I need that to rely upon just in case? And so this morning we begin not a journey of resolutions that get broken day in and day out, but we begin looking at revelations of how is it that the Word and how God wants us to be can be revealed to us in a way that we can make promises not just to ourselves, but promises to God and with God, that Proverbs says, if it's in that way, then God will be there to help us keep it each and every day. And God will be there to say, you slip today, but tomorrow starts fresh. Let's do this again. How do we set ourselves on a path this year so that we can make the proclamation that we serve and follow the Lord to the full capacity, so that we can receive the full capacity of his blessings. Now, I could have picked any covenant. I could have picked any new start in here that goes over and over again to look at, but I intentionally looked at Joshua today because of his decision as head of household to lead his house, to lead his family in the right direction, to carry them with him, and to be their inspiration as good, God-fearing Israelite people. Because today I start with that resolution of spending more time with family. To spend more time with family, however you might define that. Is it a spouse? Is it children? Is it parents? Is it siblings? Is it neighbors? Is it friends? Is it this family that you're sitting with right here this morning? Family is defined in so many different ways, and God created family to be a critical aspect of the DNA of who we are. That when God created Adam, immediately created Eve so that he would have a companion for this journey. To spend more time with family says, I am going to spend more time receiving support and giving more support. To spend more time being inspired by those I love and I walk with and being an inspiration to them. To spend more time in joy with those people that I love. To spend more time around the table. Because I know around the table is one of my favorite times. I loved family meals when we'd fit 9, 10, 11 people around our table that's really only supposed to fit 7 or 8. That we would pile it in and we'd share about our lives and what was going on and we would laugh and we would spend forever at that table. We had a few years where every Thursday night we had multiple families that came over. It was a hodgepodge church family that we had created. And every Thursday night, everyone would bring food, and we'd start in the kitchen cooking up a feast, and we could have up to 30 of us in our house, with up to 15 of those being kids under the age of 5. It was like chaos at times. But when we would sit down and eat, when we would share about things going on, I can't tell you how many of those kids were born while we were having those Thursday meals, not literally in my house, but in the span of time that we celebrated new life, that we mourned with people when they lost people, that we supported each other when jobs were lost and new jobs were given through health crises and miscarriages. We went through everything together, but knowing we had Thursday as a night sitting around that table somehow made the week a little bit easier, and Friday definitely easier after having that time together. God says to spend time together. I don't think there's any coincidence of it being a meal that God had shared with those disciples. That meal that 2,000 years later, we still gather as a church family around to feast on God's Holy Spirit, to be one family. This year, how do we have the revelation of how we can have more family time? Being intentional about it being in our calendar, not just because we're supposed to, not just because we're related, not just because it's that day of the week, but because that family time and that love that we have for one another is what helps fuel us in this journey. And moreover, how do we take that family time to help guide each other closer to God and more in love with him as a family together? Are you Joshua in your household? Are you the one that's called to stand up and say, we believe in God and we're going to serve him together? Follow in my footsteps. Follow my example. And let's be blessed by God together. For that is what God wants. God wants to bless us in this year. God wants to protect us and watch over us and heal us and love us to no ends. And all of that begins right here and right now with the covenant that we make before God, with the promise that we make of how we want to live this year, and to come forward and to seal that covenant with this meal that he has prepared for us today. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks, not only for a new year, but for a new beginning, a new time when we can lay our hearts out before you, to let you know who we are and where we are, but moreover, to be reminded that we are yours. Help us on this morning to commit our lives to you, to commit not 50, 60, 70, or even 99% of ourselves to you, but to have the courage like Joshua to commit 100% of our lives to you, 100% of our love, 100% of our devotion, 100% of our faith. May it be made more possible because of the family around us, especially because of this church family around us that supports us and prays for us and is there for us. May we do this together, and may we come forward as one family to sit at your holy table together in celebration of what your Son did for us, so that we could have this as a new day through your grace and through your love. Amen.